And we see that in science. We even see that at the level of fashion,
yes.
You know, and not only where people are seeing it because the media is exposing it, but where things will just spring up in different parts of the world where there has not been any communication. Different scientists all of a sudden have the same breakthrough who have not been talking to each other.
In fact, I think it's the mechanics of evolution. We are reaching a stage where Jonas Salk said, we've finished with biological evolution. We're in the midst of metabiological evolution, which means the evolution of consciousness. And ultimately, of course, the evolution of consciousness of consciousness. So we are at a stage where ideas are becoming the evolutionary force rather than genes.
Yes.
Genes were packets of information, but they've done their job. Now, ideas become the memes. The word is memes because memory and memes. The word is memes. These are non-material space-time events that are going to shape the evolution of what happens to humanity. It's our collective thinking. Now, I was at the Berlin Wall when it fell down. I happened to be in East Berlin, and everybody was celebrating that day. The divisions between East Germany and West Germany had fallen. Communism had gone. There was a big neon sign with Karl Marx underneath the statement, "Sorry, chaps, it was just an idea."
Oh, I love it. But human beings, out of their need, I think, for a sense of certainty, my personal belief, as I think you know from exposure to my work, is that everything that drives human behavior at some level is the need to avoid pain, the desire for pleasure, at least at the level of behavior. And human beings seem so committed to being able to avoid pain at any cost that they'll endeavor to, maybe not endeavor, but they're willing to maintain the pain that they've got because at least they understand it and have some way of dealing with it rather than trying to deal with the unknown. And I see so often where someone, and I'm sure you've seen this, where someone would rather have a label for their current, you know, dysfunction in their body that almost they get excited about. They're excited to know now that they have this disease. Have you seen this experience?
I've seen it. It's such a tragedy. You know, in Vedic tradition, we have a saying, you need freedom. And you need freedom from the known. The known is what you need to be free of because the known is the rigid patterns of past conditioning. The known is the trap. What you do need to do, if you want to be free, step into the unknown in every second of your life and then you'll be free. And then create from that unknown because the unknown is the field of all possibilities. It's everything.
But for most people, the unknown is the field of fear. For most people, what the unknown means is I could get hurt. And most people are not willing to take that jump.
They
the majority
should be
of people.
Fearful, if anything, only from the known because that's what the trap is.
I would agree
the
with you.
The trap is the known,
I would
not
agree
the
you.
Unknown.
I would
the
agree
unknown is all choices.
I would agree with you. Let me bring you back to AIDS one more time. My focus on it is only because it's in the headlines every day, and I think it's a great metaphor. Going back to somebody like a Magic Johnson, they convinced him, of course, to take AZT, which, you
horrible,
know.
Horrible travesty.
What does AZT do to the body?
AZT will destroy the immune system even more. And in fact, it causes all kinds of side effects. And there are statistics now that show beyond a shadow of doubt that AZD does nothing to the long-term morbidity or mortality of the disease.
In the very beginning, it was passed after only being used for, was it 3 or 4 months initially?
Right. Wow.
And it was like, you know, tossing a coin for a short period of time.
You know, there's a lot of money involved in all this.
Yeah, this is true. Also, I read recently that in terms of AIDS that I was reading an article and they were talking about that if you've ever had any kind of shot that had gamma globulin in it, that you will come up very easily. You can come up with...
Oh, lots of false positives.
Yes.
False, not just gamma globulin. There are all kinds of antigens that are out there in the environment that can induce a false positive. In fact, I have a person, which I will not identify right now, who has held the world record for swimming and continues to hold it periodically, who has the same positive test but doesn't have the disease.
Now, in the very beginning, they said, well, this was what always fascinated me. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know of any disease where if you have the antibodies, it means you have the disease up until AIDS. I mean, the fact that you have antibodies should be showing that the body is doing its job, should it not?
All it means is that you've been exposed to an antigen.
Yes.
That's it. And in this case, we don't even know if the antigen is the
cause of
specific
such a syndrome.
Or, you see, HIV is one particular antigen.
Right.
There are thousands of antigens that have the same structure, can elicit the same antibody response.
Interesting. Well, also the symptoms of AIDS, I believe there's 167 diseases that have the same symptoms, and they keep expanding the definition.
Yeah, they keep expanding. I think we're creating a monster collectively.
Well, the biggest monster I see is the fear, because fear, I think I read you had a wonderful definition of stress, because I think you were talking about aging, which I want to come to, but not yet. But you had a great definition. You said, I believe, that stress is really not based upon what's happening in the environment. It's our interpretation of threat. Is that correct?
It's our interpretation of physical or psychological threat. It's not in us. It's not in the environment. It's in our interpretation of what we think is happening to us. And a good, Dr. Ken Pelletier, I believe, many years ago gave the analogy. He said, compare it to the waves on an ocean. If you're a skillful surfer, then every wave is joy and exhilaration.
Exciting, sure.
It's exhilaration.
Yes. And you're creating the appropriate biochemicals that come with that.
That come with that. On the other hand, if you're not prepared, then the first wave is a disaster.
Yeah.
So the same stimulus can be either threatening or stressful, or the same stimulus can be joyful, exhilarating, energizing, bliss.
So again, when we come back to what is the solution, it appears that to constantly expose yourself and seek the unknown, to constantly pursue what I would probably call profound knowledge, that is information that helps you to understand and interpret in a broader and a deeper sense the quality of your world.
And something that you do very effectively, and that is learn how to perceive your interpretations. Learn how to, you do it very effectively. You show people that, you know, you're locked into this reality because you made a certain neuro-associated conditioned response.
Yes.
Okay, but that's all it is. Now we'll replace this neuroassociative conditioned response with this other neuroassociative conditioned response. That's very effective. To give people the insight that what's happening to them is a result of certain interpretations and certain memories that they've been locked into it.
Yes.
Now we change that. And then there's a deeper level of reality. And this, I feel, is very important, to get in touch with that aspect of yourself, which is not subject to change. We've spoken about the body, we've spoken about the mind, but there's something which is more primordial to both the body and the mind, and that is the spirit.
Yes.
I am the experiencer, not the experience, even though, of course, I get locked into these experiences. But in every experience, there is a part of me that is still unchanged.
Yes.
It's the experiencer. If I can find the experiencer in the midst of every experience and get in touch with that experiencer, I'll discover that the experiencer, the original experiencer, is just a silent witness that never changes. It's that non-changing part of myself.
And that's a part of you that's without fear.
That's part of you that's without fear, because all fear ultimately is the fear of change. It's the fear of mortality. And that part of you is immortal. It doesn't know any kind of change. It's absolute.
Well, that's interesting. If, you know, what we're really saying is that consciousness really is what shapes all forms of destiny, physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual.
Yes.
And that, in essence, if we choose to finally realize that we can direct that consciousness, that we can direct everything we experience in life.
Yes, consciousness is a field of all possibilities. It's pure potentiality. Einstein defined the field when he was talking in terms of space-time field-matter analogies. He said, in the new reality, in the new physics, there's no place for both matter and the field. The field is the only reality. And the field, instead of being an actual model for space-time events, it's the continuum of all possible states of energy and information that subsequently manifest as space-time events. And I am the field.
You're speaking of the unified field? Are you speaking
of
what
I'm
people call the unified field?
Yes, I'm speaking of the unified field.
Okay.
In my, you know, all of matter ultimately boils down to force fields. And these force fields are also information fields.
Yes.
Ultimately, they come from the field, which is one unified field from where everything comes. And my basic substrate, my ultimate ground, is that unified field. Now, other traditions have called it the spirit, or they've called it consciousness, or they've called it, call it what you will, call it God if you want. But the fact is that there is a deeper level inside us from where we think, from where everything comes. Get in touch with that also. Learn.
How do you get in touch with that?
Well, I practice meditation. I meditate, and I tell all my patients that